If saving money and helping out Rob Has a Podcast are in your top three passions in life, make sure to always start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. And for our friends in Canada, you can get in on the action by starting your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino, and I am fired up for an exit interview podcast this morning. I had a great breakfast this morning with the tabulator, Kurt Clark. I drank a lot of coffee, and I am ready to go to talk with Haley, the latest person voted out of Survivor. So very excited for that. She'll be calling in just a second. Just a quick recap of where we stand right now. Last night, we did Survivor Know-It-All. Stephen Fishback and I talked about everything that went down. Very fun know-it-alls with a very optimistic Stephen Fishback who is really loving this season. And we talked about everything. Apparently, we really came on to a lot of different things that you guys wanted to talk about because over 300 comments and counting, which is very high for a Survivor Know-It-Alls. And it's only about 10 a.m. Pacific time when I'm recording this part of the podcast. So lots of comments, lots of people fired up about this season and what we had to say last night. So check that out if you missed it. Then I'm getting ready to talk with Sophie G. Clark, and we'll hear what she has to say. Always a live wire on the podcast. Looking forward to Sophie Cast later on. I'm about to post the thread on Facebook. So if you're hearing this, you can go on Facebook.com at Facebook.com/Rob is a podcast and post your questions for Sophie for the show. And I'm also going to be taking your voicemails later on today with Mike Bloom. And we're going to do that. Get your voicemails in at Rob is a website.com/voicemail or call them into 323-282-RHAP. So make sure you're locked in. Subscribe to the podcast, Rob is a website.com/iTunes, or get a hold of the Rob Has a Podcast app at Rob is a website.com/app. All right. Looks like we've got Haley on the line. Then we're going to do This Week in Survivor History. Haley, are you there?
Hey. Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing very good, Haley. I'm surprised to be talking to you, though.
I'm mad that you're talking to me.
Well, I'm not mad that I'm talking to you because I'm that it was fun to watch you play, but definitely disappointed to talk to you today and not several weeks from now. But Haley, all right, we got so much to get into. Been a very wild post-merge of this game so far. So I want to know from you, first of all, why do you think that the Women's Alliance ultimately didn't come together like you anticipated last night?
So the main two factors, Carolyn and Sierra. I thought Carolyn was a little more on our vote. I've come to realize that she and Rodney and she just was not into us. She didn't like me and Jen. She thought we were too close. She didn't like Serene. It was almost foolish for us to assume that she would go along with us, and we didn't know that we had her in our pocket. Sierra, I thought we had Sierra more than we did. I was disappointed that she didn't come with us. I think it was either a weak move on her part or a brilliant move.
Can you just go through for me, Haley? Who were the votes that you thought you had last night?
You know, Rob, I didn't see it as a locked-in vote thing. This is how I saw it.
Okay.
I saw certain percentage probabilities for probably 9 people.
All right. Break it down.
And I thought that the aggregate of those probabilities meant that I was definitely not going home.
Right. Like some of them were going to come in, some of them might not, but you thought you had enough to carry the day.
Exactly. It was kind of a totality of the circumstances thing, not really a absolute black or white person by person decision. You know what didn't come across at all was Mike and I did talk a bit. I thought that Mike liked me enough. We would go on boa hunts. We had established a good rapport. I had about probably a 40% on Mike because he told me straight up that his hands were tied for that vote, that he wanted me on the other side. And so I thought that was at least favorable representation in the opposite of alliance that, you know, whatever Mike could put in, he would for me, because he saw me as someone maybe he could drag along. I don't know. I was going for anything I could get because I was on a sinking ship. Tyler, Paul and I talked more before the televote.
Yes.
I told Tyler, and genuinely, I meant this, I wanted to play with Tyler from the very beginning. I thought that Tyler, I had definitely extended an olive branch to Tyler. I confirmed that at the Kelly Tribal Council, that it wasn't shown, but I basically addressed him publicly that he could count on me, because I thought I was going home on the Kelly vote. And I was, but with Tyler, by the time the second post-merge vote came around, I didn't really think that I had him. Maybe he was a 20%. The Girls Alliance, I way overestimated that. That was my number one game plan. That obviously fell through. So Sierra was probably the one I mispredicted the most. Will.
Yeah, let's talk about Will.
Yeah.
Because Haley, I watched all of your secret scenes, your Ponderosa videos, and it seems like you feel like Will, at the time you get voted out, is still with you. You do a shot of whiskey, and you're having Jim Beam, or no? What do you have? Jack Daniels. You have Jack Daniels, and you want Crown for Will, because here's a shot for all the people that voted for me, and you're mad at Shireen, but Shireen's voting with you. It's Will. Well, you don't know with it. Will has jumped ship since the last episode.
Exactly. Okay. I watched the Ponderosa video this morning. I was more blindsided by what I said at Ponderosa than being blind. Like, I don't remember having that mind frame, just because after the first vote, I was surprised when me, Jen, Joe, and Shireen laid down on the beach, and none of them suspected Will. It was like he was obviously still on our side. Well, my idea when Kelly got voted off, I was like, it was Will. Like, obviously, Will was the vote. And the way that he behaved when we first got back to camp, I was like, it was Will. I talked to Will the next day. I kind of interrogated him. I had a bad feeling. I went up to Joe. I said, Joe, you need to focus on Will. But apparently, popular opinion completely swayed my mind, and I was on board with everyone else who thought we had Will in our back pocket. So, I don't know. To me, it was like history rewrote itself, but apparently that's where my head was.
Yeah, that's very interesting to me, because you have all those votes and you don't know who's voting with who. And so he just acted like he was still with you guys the whole time.
Yeah. And in my mind, that's not my memory of the game, but apparently that was what I believed at the point in time when I got voted off. I know that I didn't think that the whole time I was out there.
Okay. Now, was Joe part of the Women's Alliance, or was the Women's Alliance sort of behind Joe's back?
We were so depressed when Joe won that immunity challenge. If Joe had lost that immunity challenge, the Women's Alliance would have been cemented, unless Carolyn just completely would never be on board. I know. I think she would have, though.
Against Joe?
Against Joe would have been gone if he had lost that immunity challenge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the show is depicted to us so far that it's Haley, Jen, and Joe are in lockstep. That's an unbreakable tight three. And this is not the case.
No, sir.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was ready to draw. I mean, you're just an idiot if you want to take Joe any further in the game.
All right.
Dumb.
All right. Because he's so good. That's why, right?
He's a golden boy,
winning
everything.
All right, so Joe wins the reward challenge last night, and there's, again, a secret scene where Jen is just ripping Joe to shreds because Joe doesn't take you guys on the reward. Were you as pissed as Jen was? Because from my point of view, I'm watching the show, I'm like, wow, what a great move by Joe. He takes all of the swing votes, but maybe that wasn't the case.
No, I didn't care. I thought Joe was hustling. The only thing that disappointed me was the lack of fruit from the people that he brought there, and his conversations didn't seem to produce any good results for our alliance, but I was fine with it. I didn't care at all.
Yeah.
We made our own feast back at camp.
Okay. So Jen was just really mad about it, but you weren't. And, did that have anything to do with you guys wanting to get Joe out?
It did for Jen. I think that's what turned Jen. What made me want to get Joe out was, one, I had no intention of taking him further in the end. And if by getting him out early, I could lock in the Girls Alliance, done. Also, I was mad at him because he was scattershot. It was like, he was talking to everyone all the time. I couldn't even keep up. We would devise one plan and then he'd be go talking to people outside his plan. And I didn't like it.
Playing too hard, and winning too much of a threat. So, all right, this is interesting to me also. So last week, if the votes were going to come up for you, you said that you thought the votes might be for you at the Kelly vote. Was there any talk of Jen giving you the immunity idol to play if she felt like the votes were going to be for you?
Absolutely. I mean, she didn't tell me about the idol until right before we went to tribal. But when she did, it was the rumor that had been planted was that it was me. They didn't show it, but the only time that I almost choked in the whole game was I was in an interview and I just said, I'm sad. I think I'm going home tonight. Like, I 100% believed it was me. I thought Jen, I was surprised when Jen didn't play the idol for me, but I told her, I was like, yeah, play the idol for yourself. That's dumb. This is your idol. This is your game. I mean, we were actual friends out there. It wasn't like just a strategic thing. I mean, I think that came across pretty clearly.
Yeah.
But you know, she made the right decision. She went with her gut, as whether it was selfishness or intuition, I don't care. She played it right.
Were there any clues at that tribal council that it was going to be Jen more than it was going to be you? Based on what people were saying?
Not enough to assuage my fears.
Okay. All right. So going back to that vote again from last week, you mentioned the conversation that you had with Tyler. Did you feel like he was voting with you guys after you guys had that talk last week? Or did you feel like, again, this was like a percentage deal with him?
It was a 50. I put him at 55. I thought we had established enough and I'd given him enough reasons that it would be good for him to vote with us, that he was more likely than not, but completely not in the bag vote. So that's why I made a public appeal to him at that council. Again, it wasn't aired, but
right.
He was what I was betting on saving me.
But Haley, more so than Tyler, I'm really surprised about Carolyn, because from what I saw on the show, it really looks like at the point when you guys vote out Max, it looks like that Carolyn is flipped and she's going to join you guys. And she's really has no connections to anybody on the blue collar other than Tyler was there and she's close with Tyler. But it's not like Tyler has a great relationship with the blue collar people. I was very surprised that Carolyn, we don't really see her talk with you and Jen very much at all after you guys get to the merge. And she is very adamant about not going with you guys.
Right. Three things. First of all, Carolyn had an affinity for Rodney. I think it was like a mama son kind of thing. He reminded her of her son. They were homies. So I think that played into it a lot more. And I think Rodney was pulling strings more than we realized. Second thing, Will and Carolyn had this consortium going on. I remember seeing Will and Carolyn and Rodney talking on multiple occasions, and it was all these clues like, hello, it's Will. So I think that the Will and Carolyn bond was another thing that she definitely put ahead of the girls things. Lastly, she didn't like us. I know Carolyn didn't like me and Jen. She didn't like how tight we are. I don't think she liked us personally. She definitely didn't like Serene. Social relationships play into the game a lot. Likeability, we weren't her style. We weren't her flavor.
Haley, did you invite Carolyn to go skinny dipping with you?
I don't know if we did any skinny dipping thing, but maybe I should have done that.
People get mad.
Solidify the ball.
Yeah. Tell me about what happened from your perspective with the Nina thing, because the show certainly made it look like you guys were being exclusive to Nina and her feelings were hurt.
Mountains out of molehills. I'll tell you what, I was more blindsided by Nina's reaction to skinny dipping thing than I was when I got voted out. I didn't think in a million years Nina would be interested in skinny dipping with two girls. And it wasn't even skinny dipping. We were just dirty. It was a hygiene thing. We needed to wash our clothes. And I just didn't think Nina, like, I'd be embarrassed. Like, my mom would be embarrassed if, like, college girls asked her to go skinny dipping. Like, that's awkward. No, that's awkward.
Yeah.
So to see her just broken down when we come back was, like, almost laughable. I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this is a situation we're going to have to deal with.
Well, sometimes people just like to be asked and they like to say no. Then also, when Max came to the camp, it seemed like that you guys were talking a lot about, you know, Max and Shireen were both getting on your nerves. It seems like then, yes, Shireen, ultimately, you guys warm up to. What was the difference between Max and Shireen from your perspective?
Well, I never had a beef at all with Shireen. I liked her. The only thing that annoyed me about Shireen was Max, and that they would sit and talk close to us where we could hear them and just talk for hours about the game. So the only annoying thing to me about Shireen was Max. Shireen was considerate. Shireen was a complex, interesting person to me. I thought people were unjustifiably ganging up on her, even on the No Car Tribe. I liked Shireen. I wanted to take her. Strategically, I wanted her. Personally, I liked her. Max struck me as very inconsiderate and not someone I wanted to work with. And I saw him being more of a power player later in the game. So
yeah.
Well, everything was pointing to Shireen for me. I thought it was an easy vote.
Haley, we talked about this on the podcast this season. I thought you had some good advice to future Survivor players.
Don't be a weirdo. Don't be annoying. Don't be inconsiderate. You'll do okay.
Yeah. I think those are good rules to live by in Survivor and in life. And we thank you for giving us the HF rules, Haley.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. All right. Well, Haley, nice talking to you. Wish we had more time, but I know you got to run. So thank you so much. Okay. And hopefully get to see you at the finale.
Yeah, right on.
All right, take care, Haley. Bye.
All right, cheers.
All right, there you have it. Haley Ford, HF rules. Don't be a weirdo. Don't be annoying. Don't be inconsiderate. You'll do okay. Yeah, that'll get you to the merch. That'll get you dateable. So good job there by Haley. Got to cover a lot of ground. Good job. Good spot by Haley on the Exit Interview Podcast. All right, let's switch gears and let's bring in the guy who we talk to every week at this time to talk about what's going on the second week of April in Survivor history. Here is our chief researcher at Rob is a Podcast. Here is Jordan Kalish.
Yes, you got it right, Rob. You're doing such a good job this season getting my name right.
Yes.
I'm very impressed. Had a fun time watching the episode last night. Unfortunately, we lost Haley. We don't get to hear any more HF rules, but we do get to hear about this week in Survivor history.
What about this week in American history?
This week in American history, let me think, April, I don't know, what happened in April? I have no idea.
Nothing?
I'm sure there was some stuff during the American Revolution that happened in April, some important stuff of people flipping and winning, so that, I guess that happened.
Aren't you a teacher?
I am a gym teacher.
All right. So here's Jordan. Let's queue up This Week in Survivor History.
This Week in Survivor History with your host, Jordan Kalish. That can't be right.
Yes. No, it's right. That's right.
It is right.
All right. So here's Jordan. And of course, This Week in Survivor History is sponsored by a new sponsor here on the podcast, our friends over at ZipRecruiter.com. Jordan, let me tell you about what's going on at ZipRecruiter.com. They are the best place to go to find a job, whether you're looking for a no-collar, blue-collar, or white-collar position. ZipRecruiter is the ideal way to find that new job that you've been looking for.
Yeah, if you're living in America, you need a job.
Yeah, you need a job because the economy is heating up and there are thousands of open jobs from companies hiring near you right now. You just have to find them, but there's so many job boards out there. Where do you start? Well, I'll tell you, ZipRecruiter.com. You can search for jobs from hundreds of job boards in one place for free because it used to be the hardest working people were the people that found the job. But now you don't have to work that hard to find a job.
No. So if I wanted to, let's say, be a LaTeX salesman, I could just go on this website and find one of these.
Yes. Because with just one click, you'll find the right jobs from the easy to use interface on ZipRecruiter.com. It's never been faster. You could find jobs in fields such as healthcare, sales, office administration, and more. Plus, you'll get daily personalized jobs for free thanks to ZipRecruiter's intelligent job matching. So each week, people apply to 1 million jobs they have found on ZipRecruiter. You can too. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/RHAP to search for jobs for free now. And with ZipRecruiter, you're just a few clicks away from getting hired. Search jobs for free now and grab that great job before someone else near you does. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/RHAP. That's ZipRecruiter.com/RHAP. All right. Get that job that you're either looking for or leave that job that you hate and find something better. All right, Jordan, what do you got for me here on This Week in Survivor History?
So last week in Survivor History, I made a promise that in the patron group, I would put up a poll so the patrons could choose what episode in Survivor History we talk about this week. So I am no longer the author of my own fate. My poll's been up all week, and the winner by a landslide with 47 out of the 85 votes cast. People wanted me to talk about Survivor Fans versus Favorites. This is the episode on April 10th, 2008, which is 7 years ago this coming Friday. And this is the episode where Eliza Orlins, great friend of the podcast, plays Ozzy's fake hidden immunity idol, which is really just an effing stick wrapped in a napkin.
That's right. First off, Jordan, I commend you for bringing democracy to America. So good job there.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're living in America. We might as well hold the same values on This Week in Survivor History that we have in the Constitution, which is the greatest document ever.
Yes. And if we didn't want democracy, we would have stayed in the Kingdom of England.
Yeah, we would have stayed in England. We wouldn't have flipped.
Yes. Okay. So Eliza, Fans versus Favorites, of course. It's a weird post-merge in Fans versus Favorites that Eliza is targeted, somebody who's really at the bottom and with seemingly no allies. But it's sort of a crazy merge where the people that are from the fans are like, okay, sure, we'll vote out Eliza. And the people that are from the favorites are like, yeah, let's still vote out Eliza. It was like a rare person that was in neither group that both groups just sort of came together and got rid of. She was on the outs, and right after Amy got voted out in that season, Eliza had a lot of her eggs in the Amy basket. Her and Siska are sort of grouped together. Siska finds the fake immunity idol that Ozzy puts on the Exile Island that season. And Siska tells her if he wins the immunity, he'll give Eliza the idol. And Eliza sees it and realizes very quickly that she thinks it's a joke at first, right?
Yeah, they have a great conversation where she's so excited. She's like, oh, I made the alliance with the right person. As you said before, Amy went home, so she didn't really have any tight bonds with anybody left in the game. So she's very excited when Jason says, OK, the idol's in your bag. She takes it out. She unwraps it. It's a little stick with a face on it. And she goes down to Jason. She's like, what are you trying to pull? Because she couldn't possibly think that this guy, who is supposedly a fan of Survivor, thinks that this is a real hidden immunity idol. And of course, it's not a real hidden immunity idol, but they have a really funny conversation. It's a funny back and forth where she's like, well, you think I should play? And he's like, yeah, of course you should play it. And I don't know if that point, if she thought that Jason was still leading her on, but I guess there's really nothing to lose by playing the idol. Plus you're able to out Ozzy making the fake one.
Yeah. And so that is ultimately what happens. And Ozzy will soon be joining Eliza on the jury.
Yeah. So this was, it's memorable because of how funny it was. And just the fact that Jason actually thought that this was real. But it turned out to be an important point in the season, because now all of Eliza's so-called alliance of Parvati and Alexis and Natalie Bolton, they all know that he has the idol. And they're like, why not get him out now when we're able to, because he's so good at challenges, he's going to be a huge threat to us. So this turns out to be a big strategic point in the game.
All right. So it turned out to be nice after all.
It did. It turned out to be nice. And we got to see Eliza on the jury. And that's like, you know, that's one of the greatest things you could see on Survivor, having Eliza on the jury, making all her great reaction faces to everything that happens.
Great jury face. All right, Jordan, what else happened here in the second week of April?
Okay, we're going to go, and I don't say this very often, but we're going to go to Survivor Redemption Island.
Okay, here we go.
We don't get to use it much. This is a really good episode. You actually spoke about this, I believe, on one of the recent voicemail segments, that you were saying how a great merge episode doesn't necessarily make for a great season. But we're going to talk about this great merge episode. And this is 4 years ago this past Monday. This is the episode where Matt Elrod, who had been on Redemption Island since the second episode of the season, he came back into the game. And by the time the episode was over, he was heading back to Redemption Island.
Yeah. And it was the old in and out for Matt Elrod.
Yes, it was very quick.
He got easy come, easy go.
Easy come, easy go. Yes, and I really like what Boston Rob did here. And last week we spoke about an episode where Boston Rob was voted out. So this was a much better week for him. The way that he was on the Ometepe tribe, and he was in charge of the Ometepe alliance, which had six people left. Zapatera had five. So these were two very tight groups. There weren't really any fractures within these alliances. And of course, Zapatera was trying to get Matt Elrod to come to their side to force a tie. He was getting close with Mike Chisel. He was getting close with Ralph Kaiser. And Rob saw Matt talking to these people. So he was obviously concerned about that. And also the fact that Matt and Andrea Belkey, former Miss Survivor, were very close.
I remember her well.
Yes. Yeah. She's very, very, very nice lady. And she was getting very close again to Matt Elrod, and Rob saw this as a potential issue for him. So I really like what he did here, because Zapatera had a hidden immunity idol. And instead of trying to play the guessing game of who has this idol, why not vote for Matt Elrod? Get my six people to vote for Matt Elrod, who's definitely not going to play the idol, and send him home before he could either fracture my alliance or go over to the other side.
Hey, don't mess with Boston Rob. Take it from me. You don't want any of that, Matt Elrod.
No, you don't. And this is what you were talking about the other, actually last week's episode, with the fact that maybe the Blue Collar Alliance should have voted for Shireen. Because, I mean, you're getting rid of someone who maybe isn't a threat, but at least you're not losing one of your alliance members, because there's no way that the No Collars were going to give that idol to Shireen.
Okay. All right. There you have it. This week in Survivor history with Jordan. Great job as per usual.
Thank you, Rob. I will talk to you next week.
All right, I will talk to you next week on the podcast. Follow Jordan on Twitter. He's at Jordan Kalish.
Yep. Give me a follow, and hopefully it will turn out to be nice.
All right. Talk to you again soon. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Jordan back here for this week in Survivor history. So we're getting ready for a big show later on today. Sophie and Mike Bloom, get your questions in for Sophie on our Facebook page at facebook.com/robhasapodcast, and get your voicemails in with Mike Bloom at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Looking forward to hearing what you guys had to say about Haley in the comments, and lots more to come. Got Big Brother Canada coming up on Friday, as well as Amazing Race recaps coming up Friday night as well. So big couple of days here on the podcast. So lots to do. Thanks for checking out the show, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.